hear this speaking, but continue to encounter pushback for sharing the word of God. This is what occurs for Jeremiah as well. This is what occurs for Jesus. This is what Jesus is warning his disciples about. The pushback that Jeremiah experiences, of course, is because he is saying that the people are going to experience violence and destruction for how they have behaved and the ways in which they have rejected God's prophets, rejected God's word. So we can kind of understand the pushback Jeremiah would encounter for this. People don't usually like to hear that they have done wrong, that they are going to be punished. But we heard last week that the word Jesus came to proclaim was the good news that the kingdom of heaven had drawn near, and Jesus came to also bring healing and restoration for others. And in light of this, you may wonder, why in the world then does Jesus receive any pushback? And yet, we know that he does. In fact, Jesus is even called a demon by some, as he tells the disciples. This, I think, demonstrates the chief problem of humanity. Now, we twist this around all the time, this distinction between good and evil. Now, we label that which is good as evil and that which is evil as good. That we do not recognize God's word operating in our very presence. This is what Jeremiah is trying to tell the people is happening for them in Jerusalem. They have rejected God's word. They have rejected this voice that has meant life for them, and therefore, they are experiencing death. Violence and destruction is all around because they have not repented and returned to God. They have already asked for this. They have already demanded it through their very actions and through the way they have lived. And now the Babylonian army is just going to make that a reality for them. And Jeremiah is the medium through which God is communicating this truth, this judgment that has come upon them. And of course, as Jeremiah experiences, the people blame Jeremiah for this. They don't want to hear these words. And instead of it acknowledging the truth of them, they seek to silence the one who speaks them. This is our challenge as well. So often, people point out the wrongs that we have done. People invite us to repent, to go a different direction. We simply seek to get rid of the one speaking those words to us. And if they are wrong, they are hard-hearted, whatever the case may be, to justify ourselves, to move off and us, and to keep going in the direction we are in. Jesus, of course, comes to bear a similar message, but one that offers life. Jesus says, come into the kingdom of God that has drawn near, come and follow me and experience healing and restoration. And even though God comes this beckoning way, inviting us to know not life, not coming pronouncing judgments against us, judgments that we would deserve, undoubtedly. And when God enters into humanity, we hear words of grace and mercy and still reject them. But there are still those who would claim Jesus is evil, who would reject his message outright. And while this may be surprising to us, it is not surprising to Jesus. Jesus says very clearly that he knows that the word of God he came to bring, this sword of God's word, is not going to bring peace, is not going to bring something that everybody can agree with and get on board with. He knows it will bring division. And this division cuts deeply. Dividing line that runs not just across nations, not just across communities as a whole, but yes, even within families. There'll be those who follow Christ and those who do not. And Jesus accepts this reality and says, yes, this is how it is. And he tells the disciples and tells us today that we are not to be surprised by this either. If the word Christ has to share with this world brought about such division, so too must the words we would share, who would follow Christ, who would be like our master and teacher, must also bring division. But of course this is uncomfortable. This is not a role we would desire to have. We might like to believe we can champion a cause, or we can say that, oh yes, of course, we would cling to the truth and we will point out what needs to happen in this world. But if everyone stood against us as we did, I'm guessing we would find ourselves in the same camp as Jeremiah. As one who felt overwhelmed by knowing his friends, his family members, his whole community stood against him and the message he had to share. He said, I follow God. And this is where it got me. And so I'm tired. I want to throw in the towel. I don't want to keep saying violence and destruction to my neighbors, to my friends, to my family members. But when I keep it in, it rises within me like a burning fire, and I cannot hold it back. Jeremiah essentially says, my loyalty still must be to God. I must share God's word, even if that word is to proclaim the destruction of my family, of my friends, of my community, of my nation. The way in which I am called to serve God trumps all of those other commitments, all of those other realities. This is the difficult message I think Christ invites his followers and the disciples to bear today as well. They are to remain just as committed in their service to God, their service to Christ. They too are to put first, above family members, above all other commitments, this need, this desire to share the word of God. But to be committed to such a distinction, I think, is difficult for us. We don't like to have to stand on our own, the violence that others arrayed against us. We don't like the dividing line that is cast. And I think our second reading today, our reading from Romans, sort of reshapes this line a little bit. That a lot of times we want to think the dividing line comes in terms of ideology, in terms of belief, of identity, nationality, political party, whatever it may be, some form of understanding cuts across us. And that is often how we identify and position ourselves in these camps. But our reading from Romans highlights the truth that Jeremiah and Jesus have shared all along. That is not where the dividing line lies. The true dividing line that God has come to bring is that between death and life. This is the dividing line Jeremiah proclaimed to the people in Jerusalem. You have chosen death. Repent and turn to life. The dividing line Jesus comes to proclaim kingdom of heaven has drawn near. Come and enter into life and reject death. That is what Christ has come to do. And a lot of times, I think we find ourselves in the position of Jeremiah, where we assume that there are these others around us who have chosen death, who have gone the wrong way, and if they would just get it right, they could come back and know life. But Paul's discussion on baptism reminds us of this truth, that the dividing line between death and life runs within our very selves, within our very souls. And Christ points us to a new way of experiencing that dividing line. That yes, Jesus does experience this pushback, this divide that put him on the outs with the other rulers and powers of this world. And Jesus' own life is demanded. Death is chosen. But I think at the cross we see highlighted the truth of Jesus' statement that we are not to fear those who can destroy the body. That is exactly what they sought to do to Jesus. But instead we are to fear to follow the one who has both the capacity to destroy body and soul, but as Jesus' story demonstrates, also has the capacity to redeem and restore both body and soul. That yes, we could demand the death even of God's own Son, but God can work to bring healing and life to the Son's body and soul, and through that can bring such life, healing, and wholeness to our bodies and souls as well. This is the baptismal promise, then, that Paul highlights, that we can find life by being joined to the death of Christ. But now we have a new way that we cross over from death to life, and it is through death that we join ourselves to the death of Christ, that we may be joined also to the resurrection of Christ. That the dividing line Christ brings to bear, then, seeks to separate us from our sin that leads to death and draw us into a newness of life that leads to life with God forever. That we can actually die to this force of sin that would demand death, and rise into a new life. That's the dividing line Christ brings to bear. If we reject Christ, of course, then what we have chosen is death. We have walked away from the path that leads to life. Ironically, this is often because we want to preserve our lives. We do not want to find ourselves joined to death. And so we listen to the voice of sin that promises life and yet leads us to death anyway. Oh, dear brothers and sisters, we are called to join ourselves to Christ in such a way that we are joined, yes, even to Christ's death, that the body of sin might be destroyed in death, and might be raised to walk in newness of life with our Lord and Savior. That we are still invited to cry out violence and destruction, but not to those around us, but to the sin that would live within us. That this sin might itself be destroyed. And that is how the evil of this world is overcome. That the evil might be purged within each and every one of us through the waters of baptism, as we die to sin and rise and share in the light and the goodness of God. Others and we can still reject this. But when this occurs, we do not rejoice in the least. We long to position ourselves in such a way that we would invite others to join us and be joined to Christ's death.
good news that we get to experience again today in this meal, that Christ draws near to us still, seeking to separate us from the power of sin and death and raise us into newness of life with God forever. And here we experience a mercy and a grace that brings the sword of God's word to bear in such a way that we are divided from all that would harm us and harm others. And we are invited to walk in a new way in the path that Christ has made for us. That we are invited to be like our teacher and our master. Be like this one who gave himself for us. That we too now who know this love, this life, and this grace are invited to give ourselves for others, to make the love of God known in this world. And as we experience this good news that lays claim to our lives, we can bear witness to it in any and all circumstances, even if we experience some pushback, even if we find ourselves set against our family members and friends, we must proclaim the good news of God's love revealed through Jesus Christ our Lord. For this wonderful news that means life for us and for this world that has overthrown the power of sin and death, we can only say, thanks be to God.